Praise the Lord. All right. Good to be back in service this afternoon. I believe the Lord blessed us and gave us a wonderful service this morning. Amen. I've already been enjoying the singing and the other things that has taken place, how the Lord's moving, testimonies and what have you. But we want to kind of go just hook this message these messages are like a link in the chain. So this one will just hook on to the one this morning and go on just a little further with the message. And I want to speak this morning concerning reaching forth your hand and taking the little book. Amen. And within this message, well, I want to bring in some of the things that I brought at the very closing of the message this morning, when I brought in about Almighty God, how He's a Spirit everywhere, present at the same time. And then here comes the Lord Jesus Christ. He put a face on the love of God for us, so we could understand more about God. But then we want to bring it over into the Gentile realm where Paul spoke of Christ a lot. Amen. And he used the word Christ. Like we're dead and our life is hid with God in Christ. And we just want to get several of those scriptures. And as we go along, the reason for this is that you have become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. And when you speak of God, you're not speaking of Him as though you're speaking about Him to someone else, but you're speaking to Him personally, say. Amen. And you're baptized into His body. And when you talk of Him, you don't just talk about Him as God, as some one way distant. Amen. But you're speaking of someone that you know personally. Hallelujah. So you're acquainted with. Praise God. So those are some of the things we're going to be bringing in this morning. But let's pray again before reading the Word. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this another privilege to open the Bible. As we read this morning, Lord, the great plan of redemption all the way from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. Lord, You've let us see that. And then the little book, which is a portion for the Gentile bride, specifically. Lord, we just thank You for giving us this knowledge. And Lord, as we continue in the Word, I pray You anoint our minds and on our lips of clay, Lord, that we may speak words that will be of an edifying nature to Your children here at the end time. And we'll be careful to praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe in the message today, seeing we have several places that we have in mind, and I don't think we'll get to all of them. But I want to go back to Genesis to begin with. That's a seed book, and everything begun in the book of Genesis. It just come through in its different forms till it goes all the way through the Bible. Praise the Lord. And I want to show you in here where the tree of life was among them, and they were living in the presence of God. Now, nothing can die living in the presence of God, say. Amen. That's why Adam and Eve, they were living eternally. Until, and now here I'm speaking not just of soul or spirit, I'm speaking of body. Amen. Flesh and blood. Amen. So they would live eternally as long as God's presence was there upon them. Amen. And as they sinned against God, God had to remove the tree of life or the anointing of God, lest they eat there and live forever. See, in a fallen state. But we want to look at that, how that it was taken away and hid away, and through the different times and different ages, God let it come into view and anointed different men to bring certain portion of the Word of God for their time period. But the tree of life came back again through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it was reserved in heaven. Amen. Through the seven church ages. Although the life of Christ was available in a mighty way in the days of Paul. Amen. But we find that the church fell away. Amen. Paul said there's men among you right now. As soon as I'm gone, said they are going to rise up and draw disciples after themselves. And said there's some that's preaching the resurrection's already passed and has overthrown the faith of some. So there began to be certain things among them that they didn't go fully into what God had. And let me tell you this, God knew it. See, He knew that the early church would not go into a rapture, even though in Paul's prophetic writing he said, "We which are alive and remain." And I'm so glad that the early church didn't take the rapture. Amen. I'm very happy for that. Because had the early church took the rapture, you and I wouldn't be here partaking of this rapturing message. Amen. It would have long taken place 2,000 years ago, almost. But God reserved it, and He knew exactly what He was doing, see. Amen. And He took the tree of life away, lest they reach forth their hand and take it and live forever in a fallen state, see. Amen. And so He took it, but in this last day He brings it back and tells them to reach and get it. Because Christ has taken the curse off of us and gave us His own righteousness. And He, by giving us the gift of righteousness, He has made us as righteous as He is righteous. And that has nothing to do with works. What you did, what you didn't do, what you're doing, or what you're not going to do. But it's a gift that He gave to you, and because He gave you that gift, you're going to be so much in love with Him that you're going to just try your best to do everything you can to please Him. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the reaching forth and taking the little book in this hour is the commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ has given. Amen. Given from the hand of Almighty on down through the Lord Jesus Christ. But He Himself is the one that says, take the little book. Take the little book. Amen. The Almighty God tells John, says, go get the book. We're authorized. We know it's time. See, that's the whole plan of redemption where God comes in. He said, you go to the mighty angel and take the book. And John went up to the mighty angel and said, give me the little book. And in return, the mighty angel, which is Christ, said, take the book. But I want to show you how that it was forbidden for them to take it. Amen. Forbidden for them to eat of the tree of life once they fail away, once they sin, say. Amen. Now, we've gone over this, and I've never heard any other minister from this standpoint, but that was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge set in the garden. And God spoke of the tree of knowledge. Amen. That they should not partake of the tree of knowledge in that form and in that way. But not one time did He give any commandment whatsoever relating to the tree of life. Amen. So that was to follow on. Amen. Once they have had a trial. God always gives us trials. He gives the true word, and then He'll give another voice. But if you're His, amen, there's something about the voice, you know it's right. You're able to discern right from wrong, the Bible says. Amen. So He puts another voice there, like in the garden. Amen. God gave Adam and Eve the commandment, not to eat of the tree of life or the tree of knowledge in this form and in this way. Amen. But there's another voice came to Eve and says, Eve, go ahead and eat of the tree of knowledge. She says, we may eat of all the trees, but of the tree of knowledge, the natural fruit, but of this God has said, you shall not eat it or touch it lest you die. And the other voice said, you won't really die. You'll just be wise. And you'll know what's good and what's evil. You'll be like God. That's the reason God don't want you to eat of it, because He doesn't want you to be wise like He is. And says, go ahead and eat it. So Eve, she yielded to and ate of the tree of knowledge, and also gave to Adam, say. Amen. But the tree of life sitting here, now, I'm sure we can have in our thoughts, why wasn't it something said about the tree of life, what to do with it? Amen. Well, that was to come, see. That's what God wanted to give it after a trial. After He gave the test whether we would obey His word or not. And in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, He says, unto him that has, it shall be given, say. But to them that has not a desire to go on with God, it shall be taken away, even that which they have. Amen. So that sets some rules on the one that God gives revelation to. See, those that has a desire, to them it shall be given. Hallelujah. He'll come right in the midst and He'll speak and He'll open His word up. But then, on the other hand, there's some that has not a desire. It'll be taken away, even that they've had, and we've saw that take place, haven't we? People just lose their desire for it. Amen. I used to go to church. I used to do this. Amen. When it comes to this truth, they kind of lose their desire that they want, that burning desire. And a lady came by sometime back. She said, I wish that I could have that zeal that I used to have. I wish that we could feel what we used to feel. And I wish we had what we used to have. Well, I'm glad we got more than what we used to have. Amen. Somehow or another, she failed to move with God. Amen. And to the thing that God's doing. Now, true enough, she might not have the shouting she used to have. She might not have the speaking in tongues she used to have. She might not have had some of these other things she used to have. But if we have followed the Word, and that Word says, exercise your senses, that you may be able to discern good and evil. See, that's what we're to do now in this hour, and we'll keep receiving more and more of the Word of God. We come to the point, and it's on one of the old tape messages, passing the point where deception is no longer possible. We'll get to the place where deception is not a problem, because we know we're not going to be deceived. Amen. We've united with Him. We've gone in the tent with Him. We've become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. And we've come to the place where we are operating with the mind of Christ. Amen. The church in Christ operating on one mind, and it's His mind. Praise God. But just for just a brief moment, before moving on into some of the other things I want to get, I want to read here in Genesis chapter 3. I want to read verse 22 starting out. It says, and the Lord God says, behold, man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Now see, God hadn't told him to do anything to the tree of life as yet, but it was there in the garden. Now, it's the presence of God. I want to show you the lifting, the taking away of the tree of life. Amen, that they didn't have access in a fallen state. Now, when he spoke here, and bear with me if I get a bit repetitious on some of these things. But this live forever is not speaking here so much of the soul. See? It's not speaking so much of the soul, but of the physical being also. Hallelujah. We become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and that's not speaking of spirit. Amen. There's a people that's going to be translated and have a body like unto His. Amen. When this tree of life, the book of life, or the little book is set back among us and we begin to eat of it, hallelujah, we'll pass the place where we can say, oh, death, where's your sting? And then those that have gone on say, oh, grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. Because there's a people that Paul spoke about, and he included himself in a prophetic way, that we which are alive and remain till these things take place are not going to hinder those that are gone on. They're going to raise. He said, we're going to be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. We're going to be given a body like unto His. We're going to be translated. And one speaks of it in Hebrews. Paul speaks of it there. That by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Amen. Now that weren't speaking of a death of the spirit or a death of the soul. It was his physical being. Hallelujah. And this is one of the things that God's bringing in the final knowledge for the bride of Jesus Christ in this hour, that not only is there salvation for the soul, but also complete redemption for the body. Hallelujah. Amen. Where the body will not die. Amen. That's a part of the Word of God, that there will be a people that's living, that when they pass a certain line and only God knows where it's at, amen, we cross over that line, those that are alive at that time can look death in the face and laugh at it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I can say a little more here. May do it a little later on. But when death comes knocking at your door, or the hideous creature come up, amen, say, I come to get you, you can say to him, get lost. Amen. Because that hideous creature cannot touch you. Amen. Once you pass the place and the program of God where, amen, that you've got that place where the salvation not only is for your soul, but also for the body. And that's why God has given divine healing from time to time to be a witness that this plan of salvation not only includes something for the soul, not only does it save the soul, but it includes something for this mortal body. Hallelujah. Amen. It was typified with Abraham and Sarah. And I've been over the story, and I certainly don't want to get into it now. But Abraham was an old man. The Bible says he was good as dead, and Sarah, it ceased to be with her as with women and all that, but God said, you're going to have a child. Amen. And they waited, the years rolled by, and he came back again. He said, now it's time. He said, about this season, now I want you to watch. He specifically brought forth a time where they knew then that it's going to be, say. Amen. About this time next season, amen, Sarah will become pregnant. Amen. And she'll bring forth that child. And remember, she was good as dead. Abraham, good as dead. Amen. God changed her body's back. And 40 years after that, even after Sarah grew old again, and she went on to be with the Lord. Amen. Abraham married again and had 6 sons by another woman. Amen. He was good as dead before Isaac was born. And when the time comes for Isaac's wedding, he was 40-year-old. And remember, he was good as dead before Isaac was ever conceived. People laughed at him because he said that we're going to have a child. Amen. But 40 years later, when Isaac married, Abraham also took a wife, and to him were born 6 sons. Amen. Putting it way on down the road, see? Amen. So God has done something. Not only has He translated, and that was Elijah. He went up. Amen. And the shed of fire came down, and horses. Amen. That's where the song comes, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Amen. The song, you know. Amen. And Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind, the Bible says. Ain't nobody ever seen him since. Amen. Until, until Jesus took up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and there stood Moses and Elijah talking with him. That's in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. So, amen, he's still there. This thing that we begin to deal with, that we've got plugged into, it's eternal. It's not something that's going to be gone next year. It's not something going to be gone 500 years from now. Amen. And it's certainly not something going to be gone next week or next year. Hallelujah. But there came a place, a line, a marker. Don't miss this statement. There was a marker. See, Abraham knew that God promised a child. He knew that God promised him and Sarah a child. And he knew they were too old. So he knew it was going to take a miracle. So he had to really, we would say, strain his faith. To keep courage. That it's going to be like God said. But then one day when God came to him in flesh, amen, and said, about this time next season, about this time next year, said, that's when it's going to be. You see what I mean? Now, about the time the mighty angel come down and bring the book, about the time you realize the voice of authorization has spoken, say, go get the book, then you're entering into that time period, say, hallelujah, where you can begin to eat that tree of life, not only that will give life to your soul, but also to the body. Now, there's two things about Christ in the New Testament that's outstanding here. He came in the form of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, on the day of Pentecost. And we've followed that throughout time, throughout all the church ages, especially in this age in 1906 when the Holy Ghost came back like it did on the day of Pentecost, where they began to speak with tongues, have the gifts on Azusa Street in 1906. Amen. God restored it back to like it was in the beginning. Amen. But then there's another thing, that Christ come back not as the Holy Ghost. He's already here. That's for the salvation of the soul. Amen. But the salvation of the soul is only part of the plan of salvation, because part of the plan of salvation deals with a salvation for this body. Hallelujah. Amen. So everything for the soul's taken care of under the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise till the day of redemption. Amen. That's all that's taken place and taken care of. Amen. But there's one more phase of the great plan of salvation. Amen. And that is the redemption of this body. Amen. And then here comes Christ down to earth in another form that he haven't been seen before. Hallelujah. He comes in the form of the mighty angel. And as he comes in the form of the mighty angel, he brings the book and says, now eat and live forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now notice it was hidden, taken away, lest they eat and live forever in their sinful position. But Christ has given us his own righteousness. Amen. That makes us as righteous as he's righteous. Amen. Where there's not one sin against us. Now, under the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's been preached by myself and many other ministers as we've come through certain phases of the ministry that you need to get clean. Let the Lord wash you by the washing of the water of the Word. Let Him take all the spots and wrinkles out of your garment. And you do that by praying, by fasting, and by giving and tithing and whatever you, many, many different things you do. Amen. But that come to a close when he brings a garment back that has never been soiled. Now there's where the real jewels come in. There's a garment that has never been soiled. Hallelujah. When Rebecca was on the camel train traveling to Isaac, amen, she was dressed in her traveling clothes. She had on her walking boots, we would say. Amen. She took on a lot of dust and different things through the journey. But when she got back, amen, and saw Isaac, she went into the tent and got fixed up and all that to meet Isaac, and she had on a wedding garment that has never been soiled. Amen. Now, this doesn't give all the details here about it, but it says when Rebekah lied off the camel, Abraham went to Isaac and told him all these things. He had all this time of conversation, letting him know how God has led him. Amen. You remember the story how Rebekah watered the camels? Hallelujah. And all that took place, all that God done, Abraham told Isaac all these things. By the time he went into the tent with Rebekah. Then she had already got fixed up, and she had on a dress, not the traveling dress. Amen. She had on a dress that wasn't stained. She had on the best money could buy for that day, because Abraham has waxed very rich, the Bible says. Amen. I'm sure that they had her provided fine linen, clean and white. Hallelujah. The best that money can buy. So she went into the tent and became one with Isaac. Hallelujah. So we see two different garments. Under the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we washed our garment. We made it white. We tried to do this, but we always felt somewhere that we weren't quite good enough, you know. Don't matter how good we were, we'd feel like, well, maybe I made a mistake here, maybe I'm not measuring up. And many times you've gone into churches, you've heard the preacher preach, and by the time you might have went there feeling pretty good, like you were all right. But by the time he got through preaching, you felt like you had probably backslid or worse. How many knows it so? Amen. But with this garment, amen, he gives only to the bride a garment fine, linen, clean and white. And the Bible says it's a righteousness of the saint, and it has never had a stain in it. Hallelujah, because it's Christ's own righteousness. The Bible says he was without sin, neither was God found in his mouth, and there's your perfect garment, his righteousness. Praise God. So there's nothing to hold back to translation of the body. Now it would, if you think, well, I done a little something the other week I thought might not have been good. Amen. I don't know. My life hadn't been something that you could write a story about. I haven't always done everything just like I ought to do it. You know, you can get all the, every one of those are faith killers. See, doubt and faith cannot exist in the same place. Amen. Faith kills doubt. Doubt kills faith. Hallelujah. So in order to have perfect faith, you got to have something perfect to rest that faith up on. Hallelujah. Amen. Hoping to get on down here a little bit. Amen. Now, I want you to notice here, with getting back to this to catch on here, God said, I got to take this away. Amen. I got to take the tree of life. So lest they eat in their fallen state and live forever. Amen. And that would be a group of people on earth with eternal life, but didn't care too much about the laws of God. Would break them whenever and so on like that. Amen. And just live. What does it matter? We got eternal life anyway. We can't fall. We can't do this. And our bodies can't die. And we got glorified bodies and all those things. See that? He said, no, I'm not going to let you have it that way. Amen. And in the days when Paul preached the Word of God, when different ones began to try to preach a little revelation just a bit different from what Paul preached, in that they would say, I think if you'll read Matthew 27, you'll find the resurrection's already passed. Remember that? How that Jesus, when Jesus rose from dead, old saints rose with him. And they went into glory. So some took a statement like that and say, you know, Paul talked about a resurrection, but I think it's already passed. The Bible says there are some preached the resurrection's already passed and overthrowed the faith of some. See, they didn't, but there was a voice, there was a message, there was a line of truth, there was Christ working through the apostolic office that He's sitting there for the Gentile bride. Hallelujah. But they wanted to deviate from it and get their own personal revelation that deviated from what Paul said. You can have your personal revelation, but I promise you, it'll never deviate from the apostolic message. Amen. It'll always stay right with it and never pull off to the side, because once you get a side thought going, amen, it'll begin to gain momentum many times. Amen. And there's where the, if somebody got a little gripe against the message or something, then if there's a little sideline going, then they hook on to that. Well, he said, I'm not going to take it like that. It's got to be perfect. Perfectly united. Paul said it has to be perfectly united together. The same mind and the same judgment. Amen. And said, I'm going to sit down to all they need to do that, and we'll see what they do with it. Amen. He said a message in here that was strong, that was powerful. Hallelujah. That took the Word of God and made it live. Amen. That was Timothy and Titus, Apollos, and all those. Amen. Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy, these things you've heard me say. Said, you teach other men that they'll say the same thing. Amen. Because we all have to have the same judgment and the same mind. And there can't be one deviating this way and one deviating that way. Because if the mind of Christ is divided, unstable, double-minded man's unstable in all his way. And God can't do it. He has to have his wife thinking his thoughts. Amen. That was the message in Colombo, wasn't it, Bob? In Colombo, Zambia. Amen. The bride is thinking with the thoughts of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are you doing it today? Are you thinking with the thoughts of Jesus Christ? You might say, well, Brother Howard, how can I get hooked into the thoughts of Jesus Christ to know what Jesus Christ's thoughts is? Well, as you sit here today, amen, He sounds a trumpet. Glory to God, He brings a word. He put a thought out there, amen, He put His mind out there, amen, and let it be a guideline. He said there in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, I believe, says, has not the gospel gone forth? Said, the line has gone all over the world. The line of truth. Hallelujah. Amen. And everybody come to that one line of truth. Somebody says, that's being a dictator, trying to be a dictator, or a pope. No. Amen. If you got the mind of Christ, you welcome Christ. Amen. Telling you through the ministry because that's what you got on your mind anyway. Those are the thoughts you've already been thinking. See, you were with Him before the foundation of the world. He programmed all of this within you. Amen. Before He made the world. Hallelujah. The only thing He does in this last day is bring forth what's programmed in you. Amen. You'll be like that little eagle in the chicken yard. Amen. You'll hear a voice. Amen. For the first time in your life, that voice will sound right. Glory to God, and it'll set your heart on fire. Praise God. Amen. Now, He said, this year I've got to move the tree of life. Now, what did He move? Amen. He said, I've got to drive man out from the Garden of Eden. Now, that's it. Who else said the present? Amen. Yes. It was He took His presence away. As long as they just lived in the present like that, they would live forever. Amen. But He moved Eden. Let me say this before I move on from this point. Eden is today exactly the same place it was when Adam and Eve was here. Amen. There's the Euphrates River and different rivers. Now the flood came and it's changed some of the flow of the rivers and so on like that. Amen. But there's still that Euphrates flow right from there. As spoke of in Genesis, the rivers and all. Euphrates flow right through down by Baghdad. Move over Baghdad, because that's got to be part of Israel's. Amen. That's going to be part of the old Eden as it's restored back. Hallelujah. Now let me read the rest of this here. All right. Notice he said you've got to move the tree of life lest they put forth the hand and eat and live forever. Verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth, talking about man, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And he drove out man, and he placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way, now watch it, to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. Now man didn't go anywhere. It was Eden that went somewhere. Amen. God picked up his spirit. Glory to God. But Genesis, or Revelation, Revelation chapter 21 and 22 shows them coming back to that very exact spot. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the city, New Jerusalem, he said. Glory to God. Why it is, it's not actually a city coming down. There's nothing at all tangible coming down. The only things coming down is that which was taken away. Hallelujah. That life. Amen. The life of God. Amen. And John saw the city as a bride adorned for her husband. Come back to that very exact spot, see. Hallelujah. So, what happened? He picked up Eden. They could not get back into Eden. It weren't seen. Amen. Until Paul came and he began to preach. He began to bring a message, and it brought that back in a limited scope, in a limited scale. Amen. Paul, he said in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, said, you've come to the church of the firstborn, you've come to Jesus, you've come to the spirit of just men made perfect, and you've come to all of this. Hallelujah. Amen. That's when you come into his presence. Amen. He brings you into his presence. Hallelujah. But he came and he sent a message, and the message was a message of engagement. Now this all ties in together. He engaged the people, and Paul, through his prophetic message, there's two parts of Paul's message. One part of it is instructional, the other prophetic. The third prophetic part of Paul's message that hadn't come to pass. We haven't been changed yet. The rapture hadn't taken place yet. The dead is not raised yet. But he spoke in the person that we, which are alive and remain. This shall be what will take place. Now, getting back to this morning's message where he took that portion out of the book that was to give the Gentile bride life. And I want to say this here, there's only one people to be raised from the dead to go up in the rapture. Amen. It's the bride of Jesus Christ, his wife. Amen. Not anybody else, just her. Now the rest to be raised. Amen. And live in the millennium and all, but they'll stay dead through the tribulation period and so on like that. Amen. While the bride and only her is going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Praise God. Not only the one that's gone, the one that's dead, but also the one that is living. Hallelujah. Amen. The one that's living, they'll be changed. See, they'll get something. Amen. They'll get that part that Christ has reserved for them of the book. Now again, I don't want to re-preach this morning message. Won't be repetition. But in this, only a small portion of it is classified as the little book. It's 14 little books, and one of them has only one chapter, see. Amen. Well, what Paul spoke, see, God, as he did in Eden there, he took the spirit away. He left the earth. It's still there. Amen. Right there in Jerusalem. Amen. Jerusalem built right in the midst of Eden. Amen. But the spirit of Eden has been taken away. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's coming back. When Christ Jesus come back and set his throne up there, amen, you'll see all these changes that God said would be. Amen. And then, same way that in the early church, there was the Spirit of Christ on the Word. There was Eden come to the Word. Amen. There was the dead being raised. That was the sick being healed. Amen. That was a prophetic message going forth. That was the people all speaking the same thing. And out in the midst of it all, there stepped forth a man and said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. Amen. He began to write certain things. It didn't hinder or contradict any of the rest of the Bible. What James, who is the apostle of works, if you'll read the book of James, you'll feel like I'm a dirty rat when you get through reading it nearly. Amen. You read Peter there, you'll find out he calls us pretty much adulterers and everything and so on like that. Amen. You're going to feel dirty. Amen. If you try to take it too long. But when you read what Paul said, amen, he talked about God giving the gift. He talked about my beloved. He talked about you in my heart to live and to die. Hallelujah. He talked love talk. James and Peter rebuked the brethren. Amen. Fights among the family, you know. The brothers. The one in the Bible, Solomon, said brothers was made for adversity. You know. Amen. They fought it out. But Paul, he was talking to a wife. That's exactly right. Well, he wrote here 14 books. Amen. And when God took Paul off the scene, he took the anointing off this word. Amen. He took it up into glory. And he made it part of the plan of the total plan of salvation as a little part. And he was the one coined the phrase. Somebody might say, why you talk about little book? Well, you talk to the Holy Ghost about that. Amen. You talk to Jesus Christ about that. You talk about the mighty angel about that. Because when he came, he had a little book. He didn't have the whole thing. He had the little book. Because it applied to a certain people. It was to give people the wedding garment. Amen. Bring them to a place where they would pass that place where he said about this time next year. Amen. These promises are going to be made brought forth. Amen. You're going to be changed. Amen. These old living bodies are going to be changed because he said we become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And again, I'm not speaking of spirit here. I'm talking about these old bodies we live in. God is doing something through the Holy Ghost. He did something for our soul, and now He's doing something for these old bodies. Hallelujah. Amen. He began to work with that mind. Hallelujah. Begin to get your thinking in the right direction. Begin to get you to believe that which is impossible. For the last time we were in West Virginia, I believe, we preached that message about Jesus Christ, make the things possible that was impossible. Amen. We're a man, an old man, maybe walking on a crutch. You can all of a sudden, amen, become like a young man about 22 year old. Hallelujah. Full of zeal. Amen. Full of life. Full of joy. Hallelujah. To live forever and forever. And the old lady that is stooping in age, amen, all of a sudden within minutes, hallelujah, be a young girl about 22 year old, just in the prime of life. Amen. Now, some of you have heard the sermon that was preached at Joyce's funeral. I ministered the funeral, but Brother Cleveland spoke also. And he began to tell about an incident, not a vision part of it. He began to tell about an old man, an old woman. He'd go see them sometime. Amen. And they were very old. And he knew they were passing on. And he goes through the story on it. But I'll not try to relate the whole story. But the point is, he was over there in the church across the street praying for them. And all of a sudden, you can get it on the tape, still available, the film tape. Oh, you can see it on video. He saw there. Amen. Everything, the darkness, it's fade away and it began to get light because he didn't turn light on the church just across the street from where the folks live. And it got light. And all of a sudden he looked, he was in another room. There was a sofa sitting there. And here come the one of the most beautiful young ladies out. Sat down on the couch there. When he knew her hair was white, just a little bit of it. Said beautiful red hair down to her shoulders. Just, it said just the very picture of beauty. Said she came over and sat down. And said, "You precious darling, you precious thing." Because Gerald's been going over praying for him and going to get stuff for him at the store and whatever he could do to help make life easy for him. So all of a sudden it was gone, the church dark again. He thought, what in the world was that? He got up and walked across the street back over to the house to pray for him before he went home that night. And they said, she just passed away. And so forth like that. Then they just slipped out and gone to be with the Lord. Amen. And there he saw her. But she had to die to get it. There's a people going to be living to get it. Paul said, "We which are alive," and he's not talking about being alive in the soul only. He's talking about these physical bodies. "We which are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord." Not going to stop those that did. They're going to come on up anyway. Amen. But we're going to be changed in a moment, twinkling. That's the promise of God has. That's His promise that He has for you in this hour. Well, He brings back that anointing that caused Paul to speak that. Just like He's going to bring Eden back. Amen. He brings back that anointing put upon the Word that was sealed in heaven and brought down. He didn't bring the whole book down because the picture that Revelation chapter 10 shows is not talking about the whole world. It's not talking about the Israel. It's not talking about foolish virgin. Amen. He brings back a little book to a specific group of people, and they're Gentiles. It's the bride of Christ. Those are living here at the end time. Hallelujah. To be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. And then, in the garden, once again, I want to contrast this. Because we'll close out here in just a moment. I want to contrast this. In Eden, He took it away. Why? So that they wouldn't take it and eat of it unregenerated, see? Unregenerated and live forever. Can you imagine the world of what it would be like today if no one has died since then and they weren't regenerated? It would be a mad, it's already a madhouse out there. But can you imagine if anyone had? So what he did, he reached and got that spirit, took it up. Then the only one could come is those that sought God, those that named were in the book of life, and those that wanted to come to God in the way that God's ordained. Now He brings it back. And this time He's not hiding it, keep you from getting it. But He's telling you, go get it. Go get it. Go get it. And when you get it, start eating. Amen. That's what we're doing right now. We're eating. Hallelujah. We've had the natural food this afternoon, but now we're eating this spiritual food. Hallelujah. We're eating from the tree of life today. Amen. And it's the eating of this tree of life. We're passing a point. We've already passed the point where we can no longer be tossed to and fro. But we don't know who or how many more God has to come into this point. And we don't know that. That's up to God. Amen. But there's a certain place out here just in front of us. Amen. He'll say about this time now. Amen. You're going to... The promise is going to be made known to you, to you, to you. And then you'll have a revelation. I'm not going to die. But I'm going to be changed in a moment, twinkling eye. And at that time, you'll lose all fear of the death angel. Hallelujah. As he comes, glory to God, and hideous as he may look, You're going to say, peace, peace, wonderful peace, a coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in billows like billows of love. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I wish there was some way that I could quicken this to you. See, there ain't no way somebody can give this to you. You got to get it from the Lord. Amen. The only thing God sent me, amen, with a voice. Amen. And now through the tapes and internets and all, how it's gone all around and around the world. Amen. There's a voice. But the only thing the voice can do is let you know He loves you, He cares, and bring it to you. But I cannot give you a revelation. I cannot quicken one thing to you. He has to quicken it to you. He's got to make it live to you. Amen. That little eagle had to jump up and flop his wings in order to get out of the barnyard. Amen. I'm talking about the story that Brother Brown telling about the little eagle that heard the mother eagle cry, and it said, how can I get up? He said, just jump up and flap. She said, jump up and flap your wing. Well, she got up to the little eagle got up to the top of the fence post the first time. Amen. Flopped around, went back. But it, the next time it got a little high, and finally she just swooped under. When she saw that he was really trying to fly and got up high enough for her to come sweep under, she swept right under and took him off into the blue. Amen. When God seen we're trying to fly, amen, our wings may be a little weak, like Brother Benny Sawyers wrote the song, Fly, Little Eagle, Fly. Said, I feel my wings getting strong. Do you feel your wings getting strong? Hallelujah. Amen. This is real. Amen. The power of God's real. Hallelujah. I was going to read in Revelation 10 here, but I've gone over to Simon quotation. Amen. We'll pick it up again there. But the mighty angel come back. Or should I just go ahead and do it? Amen. How long have we been going, Bob? 53 minutes there. Well, amen. Ain't this word of God good? Amen. John said, I saw a mighty angel. Not the Holy Ghost now. Amen. Now, did you catch what I just said there? He said, I saw a mighty angel. And said he had a rainbow upon his head. He had feet like pillars of fire. And went ahead and described him. He described Jesus Christ perfectly. Amen. Amen. But said one thing I noticed. Said he had a little. Somebody's saying little back here this morning. I thought that's quite significant. Amen. Little. Amen. He had a little book, not the whole Bible. Amen. He had a little book in his hand. He had part of the thing he bought, but it was the spiritual part of what Paul had wrote, the prophetic part that is yet to be fulfilled to his wife. Yeah. Amen. And he brought it down, and then God's voice thundered and forth and says, go take the little book. And John and the angel began personal communication. Did you catch that part? John and the angels began the mighty angel began a personal communication. Amen. John walked up to the angel and said, give me a little book. And the mighty angel said, here, take it. And said, eat up. And said, I'll tell you this, John. When you get through eating, you start prophesying. Said, prophesy to many nations, kindreds, and tongues. Hallelujah. We've been eating and now we're prophesying. Praise God. And this is going to keep on going until it gets so it literally changes our vile bodies. We'll have a body like unto His own. Amen. Paul said, your bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. There's one more thing I want to read. I'm going to forego reading that due to the fact that we've done it quite sometimes in the past. But I won't read here. I made a statement here. I know some of you might look just a little strange as I was making it. I want to read you. I just want you to notice now, Paul. This is in the book of Colossians, the third chapter. Some of you are not taking notes, so let's say Colossians, the third chapter. That way you'll remember. I want you to notice one thing. He's speaking. He's speaking of Christ. Christ, amen, as personal, the mighty angel. Amen. And I want you to notice as a statement I made this morning in the message, not just God said, God this and God that, you're closer than that, see. Amen. When you're speaking of God, the Bible says God is a spirit. Amen. Everywhere, He's everywhere present at the same time. You can't go where God's not, but He's a spirit. Amen. But He came down His Son and became one with Him. Amen. And when Christ, that anointing, Christ, amen, it become more relate as something to relate to human beings, see. Amen. So as we read this, I'll let Paul speak it to you. Amen. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, not Jesus or God, but with Christ. Paul spoke of Christ a lot. See? Amen. That's that become one with you here. See? Amen. Glory to God. Now, Peter didn't speak too much about Christ, although it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul, he just seen, a lot of times he opened his mouth, that word Christ came out. Christ, Christ. So I'm not going to count how many times just in the next few verses. But if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things earth. For if you be dead, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now notice this. It says, when Christ, who is alive, shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. And then it goes on, but I just wanted to get those things. Show you, none of the writers wrote like that. Amen. Paul, he knew something about Christ personally. See, he said, we henceforth know Him no more as the flesh. Paul didn't walk with Him in the flesh. But he knew Him in the Spirit all the way, and he knew Him much better, I think, than most did that did walk with Him. Amen. Can you say amen? Praise God. Well, that's what come back in Revelation chapter 10. Amen. It's the mighty angel. It's a spiritual being. Amen. Not Jesus Himself. He's going to be where we meet Him in the air, see. Then we'll see Him there like that. Amen. But Christ come back as a body to be baptized into. We're baptized into that body. We become part of it, a member of that body. And then as we progress on, we become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Amen. And God gives us a body like unto His glorious own. Amen. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus on earth. I want to be like Him. Do you love Him today? Amen. How many are glad for the little book that was brought back? It was part of the book that was sealed with seven seals. Amen. But a part was taken out and brought down here just for a Gentile bride. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Now, Sid, you got that song, The Little Eagle.
There are many in our day who are eagles, so they say. But I wonder if they've heard that great eagle cry out with God's holy word. Fly, little eagle, fly.
Yes, amen.
Rise. rise into the sky. Spread your wings, hear that sound. Something's coming, gonna lift you from the ground. Well, I know it won't be long. For my wings are growing strong. Soon a call will come from far, and we'll rise to meet that bright and morning star. Fly, little eagle, fly. Rise into the sky. Spread your wings, hear that sound. Something's coming, gonna lift you from the ground. The Lord will meet us in the sky. And there are many birds that fly, but only one can go that high. If you're an eagle, then spread your wings and fly. Fly, little eagle, fly. Rise into the sky. Spread your wings, hear that sound. Something's coming, gonna lift you from the ground. Someday, our eagle king will call for his redeem. If you go, then you must strive. I thank God I'm an eagle born to fly. Fly, little eagle, fly. Rise into the sky. Spread your wings, hear that sound. Something's coming, gonna lift you from the ground. Something's coming, gonna lift you from the ground.